Blog Talk Radio.
On May 1st, 2013, the spring has finally come to Toronto. It's not warm, but it's pleasant. Anyway, a few days ago, I guess, you know, for the new season, I attended a talk about branding. And there was someone, branding, just in case you didn't hear me. There was someone in the group, it was a webinar, who was complaining that branding is a phony issue. She said it was created by marketing people just so they can make money. And the leader of the group said, hey, anybody who says that is just plain ignorant because branding has a long and fine pedigree. And then he gave us an example from the Bible. It's in the Bible, he says. Look at Leviticus chapter 21. God is laying down the rules for the priests. They had priests in those days, and they had to sacrifice animals to God, so they had to be pure, or the sacrifice wouldn't be accepted. So God says, and this is what it says, they shall be holy to their God. They shall be holy, and they shall not desecrate their God's name. They should not desecrate God's name. Now, the leader of the webinar pointed out that a man cannot desecrate God. He can't take away God's holiness. But the issue here is not God, it's God's name. And his name is his brand. And he doesn't want people tarnishing his brand. He doesn't want people smudging his brand. He wants people to buy into his message. And if they don't get the right message about what he stands for, they're not going to take him seriously. They're not going to do the right thing. And you can see how important this is to God from the punishments he dictates. For instance, if a priest has a daughter and she has a forbidden sexual relationship, like adultery, the Bible says you have to burn her alive. The Bible says you have to burn her alive because she's wrecking God's brand. But don't worry, the leader of the group said, we shouldn't let that upset us because it was never really enforced. God was just using that strong talk to let the people know he meant business. So anyway, I guess everybody that maybe there is a reason to take your brand seriously because, as I said, it's in the Bible. And that means it's important to get serious with people who don't show you the proper respect. And now I myself have to figure out what punishments I can use to keep my guests from making me look bad on Jerry! What show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
I don't know if it was muffled or you were shouting too loud.
Oh, you do music there?
Yeah, didn't it play?
I heard the music.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Yeah,
baby. Hey, you caught me a little bit off guard with it today. I've been eating peanuts during your monologue,
didn't
and
I
wasn't
tell you?
Quite sure.
I was
halfway through a fistful.
Nice, Jerry.
And you hit me with the spotlight there, and I recovered though.
Now, all right. Jerry,
you actually sounded like
going.
You were halfway through a fistful.
Yeah. Before you get going, I got a question about the strategy of the show. Once you guys used to say I interrupted people too much, so one day I had a fellow on, a really smart guy, and I just let him talk. And then you guys complained that I let him talk too much without interrupting.
You talking about that time that I was the guest?
No. Amy Alla threatened on Twitter to take over this show if I don't ask the right questions. She said, I'm going to take over. So I don't know if I should just let her take over. Let her run the show. Let her talk as much as she wants. Let her go on aimlessly like that other guy did, and then have you guys complain at the end. What should I do? Should I take the lead because I'm the leader? Or should I
say just let Amy Alla talk with her beautiful, sexy voice for the entire hour.
Yeah, that's my gay stringer talking. I'm talking to Jerry. What do you say, Jer?
You know, you gotta just let your host intuition guide the way. Lead by following.
True.
Okay, lead by following.
Be
no,
a servant leader.
I'm not a follower. Okay, today we have the three stooges of corporate recruiting. They gave themselves that name on their own. I didn't have to do it. I think it's great.
I don't think that's true. I think it came from you.
No
yeah, I think
way.
So too.
I don't think so. See, she's already starting up. Anyway, Amy Alla, Derek Zeller, and HR Nasty. Okay? Now, we'll introduce them in a minute. We'll give them, or maybe you guys would like to introduce yourselves. You want to, Amy, do you want to say who you are?
I am Animal's best guest ever, and I have the Emmy to prove it.
There she goes. Okay, Zeller. Derek Zeller.
Hey, Animal. What's going on, buddy?
You want to tell people who you are? You're a corporate recruiter. Is that enough? Everybody here is a corporate recruiter. Is that
yeah, that's enough.
HR Nasty, do you perform any other functions like compensation, strategy, and things like that, or are you just a recruiter primarily as well?
He does it all.
In the past, I have been head of HR, but currently I'm a corporate recruiter.
Okay. This is a guy who, in the 21st century, likes to use the image of a terrorist for his blog. Talk about brains. Okay. So, you guys, let's get going. You picked a song on your own. Am I right about that?
Yes, we did.
Okay, what is it?
Amy?
Well, one of you answer.
What?
Amy, is Amy
the
leader?
Stuck in the middle
Animal?
Of you.
Dude, this is already... See, you've got three people thinking that they're the guest at the same time, dude. I told you about this. It's not.
They said they want to come on together.
Thank you,
okay?
Jerry.
I didn't
thank
pick
you.
This. They said they're stooges. What can I do?
Okay,
just don't ask open questions. You got to name a name.
You are so
and
right,
you
Jerry.
Know the
thank
song,
you.
Because we talked about this. Like, you know what the song is. We've already covered this.
No, I wasn't sure. No, I wasn't. But, okay, it's stuck in the middle with you. Amy, you're the leader. You're the leader. You organize your guys there and say one, two, three, and start. Okay,
okay,
I'll come along with
are
you.
Are we starting at the beginning?
Yeah,
you
can take
it. No.
The
you're just doing
the chorus.
And
a yeah.
one.
Okay, Amy, you're leading.
What? Okay, are you guys with me? We're
yeah,
just, where
go.
Where's the chorus start? The whole song's a chorus. What are you talking
clowns
about?
Clowns to the left.
No. Starting
me.
Clowns to the left.
We're
or,
starting at clowns to the left of me? Okay,
you know
are you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three, go.
Clowns to the left
clowns
of me.
Clowns to the left of me.
Joke
is to
the
right.
To
the
right. Here I am stuck in the middle with you.
Yes,
I'm stuck
in the middle
with you.
Yeah! That's it? You guys stink.
Amy's
okay.
voice
okay.
is that of a
you
goddess.
Get us to sing and then we stink. That's awesome.
Well, you didn't sing enough,
yeah,
okay?
Look,
I'm moving on. I'm going to do a few ads before we get going.
Oh,
listen,
let's cut us off to do ads.
If you have an iPhone and you want to tap in for free to the best recruiting blogs in the world, including this show, just go to recruitingnewsfeed.info, recruitingnewsfeed.info, and you can get an app there. And then you can enjoy yourself on the subway or wherever. Next, there's a woman
Animal,
who used to come
Windows
on this show.
App for that?
Pardon
is
me?
There a Windows phone app for that?
Windows
no, it's
phone
right
suck.
Now. Just iPhones, okay?
Blasphemy.
Next, there used to be a woman who came on this show. Her name is Rayanne Thorne. She got her own show now. She's gone through most of the people on this show, so I don't know where she's going to get her good guests. But anyway, you can take a check. You can check it out at rayannespeaks.info. Rayannespeaks.info. And finally, my good friend Corey Feldman writes children's books. You can find him on Twitter. CoreyJF, Corey Feldman, children's book author. Okay, now Three Stooges, or Amy, leader of the Three Stooges, Mo.
Mo, I am the Mo.
You are the Mo.
Where do you guys want to talk about your chosen issue, or should I just lead off? Because I've got some
Why
other things that I'm
interested in. Why don't you start, and if you suck, I'll take over, as promised.
Yeah, be ready to cut
well,
him off.
you know what? I just heard about a problem this morning. It's not a real recruiting issue, but it might be. Somebody placed a candidate at a company and then got a call about a month or two later, I think, that they were going to let the person go because he was trying to sort of molest his boss.
Oh, my.
What?
Yeah, he was feeling, he was touching her and ass grabbing.
Was it her or him? Do we know?
Right,
it's
yeah.
A her. It's a her. It's a her.
If it was a him, they might not have been able to say anything about it because.
Okay, so what I'm saying is.
And if I worked for Amy Alla, I couldn't control myself.
If somebody does that, I expect that they were a little too friendly in the past at some of their other jobs as well. And, you know, reference checking or something was not happening. I'm wondering, is there any way that you can prevent that? I've never had it happen. This person, this recruiter got stung. Should he or she in the future say, look, have you ever been, fired for, you know, being too friendly? I mean, what can you do? You can't prevent it, it seems to me.
I don't think you can prevent that.
No.
I don't think that any previous company is going to own up to that. They're not going to say, well, be careful because he's an ass grabber.
You can't really ask that question with references. Or, you know, I ask how they got along with other people, but I never ask were there any sexual faux pas that this person was responsible for.
And you don't know what the rest of the team is doing that maybe somehow he thinks that's okay. Maybe there's other inappropriate behavior,
Maybe Mike Haystringer's on the team and he's saying, hey, I do it all the time, and they don't do anything to me.
I don't ask them if they've had sexual problems in the past, but I do ask them if they want to.
Mm-hmm. That's a real situation that happened. That's why I brought it up. Let's move on.
So my question is, as an agency recruiter, do you give the money back, or are you going to say,
that answers that question. It depends on the guarantee. Jerry, what would you do with the money?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter for any reason if they're let go. I mean, if it's in your guarantee period, then you have to honor your guarantee.
Well, what about a free replacement, though, versus a refund?
Well, that depends on what your guarantee is.
Whether it's a free replacement or a refund.
My guarantee is the first month, 75% of the fee returned. Second month, 50% applied towards the replacement.
Okay,
Third
Jerry,
month,
hold on a second.
25% applied towards
the
replacement.
Wait a second. If your
no money back
that,
after a month.
If your candidate was that outrageous, don't you think that you would owe something a little special to the client in order that they respect you?
Oh, perhaps. Yeah, I mean, being a smaller company and being the guy that makes all the decisions, I'm sure I'd be flexible on it. I'm pretty cool about stuff like that, surprisingly.
Okay, moving on. Three Stooges, please listen. I was reading recruiting blogs, and there's a woman named Debbie Fletcher-Johan there. I think she should shorten her name. But she says that companies lose about $25,000 to $50,000 on a bad hire. She didn't break it down to show how that's the case. But if they use a recruiter, I can understand it. So she offers three solutions. Number one, she says, know your client. Having clients complete a survey is a great way to know the client and their needs. Does anybody think a client would do that, especially for a third-party recruiter?
No.
I don't even like doing internal surveys.
I'll ask Derek Zeller first.
Yeah, I'm just listening. Face-to-face, but not a survey.
Right.
Not a survey.
Yeah. Face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
I don't have time for surveys.
I prefer them in the office.
Really? Well, you can't
so they can see
office.
What the culture's like.
The person might be on the – I've worked on jobs in Vancouver. I mean, it's 3,000 miles away. I'm not going to go there to ask them some questions.
How about
Skype?
No, I think
on
that's within reason, but if you can – a survey's tough.
Okay, no survey. Okay, now she also says you have to know the company culture. So let me just try something. Amy Alla, can you tell me what the culture of your company is?
We are a devices and services company putting a PC on every desk in the world. No, because it's too big. We don't have a single culture. It's we're all collectively not finished.
And this is why I don't think the survey works.
Bad.
This is why I want somebody in the office.
Derek Zeller, Derek Zeller. Hey, how about if I keep saying the guy's name over, Amy, you butt out so I can talk to him, okay? He's your guy. Have
Zeller,
some respect.
You can answer.
Thank you, Amy.
Derek.
Can I talk now, Mrs. Allah?
Derek Zeller.
Yes, sir.
What's the culture of your company?
We're a young company, a vibrant company, but we're also a government contractor, so we expect professionalism on site. if the client requires a certain tie, we expect you to be okay with that. We have other clients that aren't as strict, depending on the client site that you're at. So we look at you to be a very flexible individual, very knowledgeable, and almost a SME in every category that we hire for.
Yeah, that's
I have a question for Derek.
Does anybody think that means it? It tells me almost nothing.
Told me everything I need to know. Hey,
yep,
Derek, how has sequester affected your government services side?
Hey, how about button up,
yes.
Jerry? Okay, that's not a recruiting question.
Dude, I'm losing guys right and left the last
month. Actually,
it is
a recruiting question.
They're cutting programs like
crazy right now.
Yeah, man, I'm losing money.
Yeah,
at first,
we
I
all
thought
are.
It was kind of funny.
We all
I was,
are.
Like, rooting for it to go into place, you know?
HR Nasty, still with us?
Still with you.
Can you describe, you know, your company culture? If I'm a recruiter, I want to work for you, and I say, listen, Mr. Nasty, I want to bring in the right person. Can you please describe your company culture for me?
We're a hardcore startup. We are definitely for-profit. If you're looking for a nonprofit company, we are not for you. Candidates coming in here are going to wear multiple hats, and you're probably not going to get much direction. You'll get a ton of mentorship, but not much direction.
Here's what I just heard. We work 60 hours a week. You better not be bitching about it. And if you're the guy leaving early, you're fired. Find something to do.
You got the exact message that we're trying to deliver.
I don't think company culture can be said in some vague one sentence. What about, like, sense of humor? We had the guy, Art Pappas was on. He's got 300 employees, and he said they've got a very well-defined company culture. One of the things is a sense of humor, and he actually made a reference check just to see if the COO that he was about to hire had a sense of humor. You guys don't mention anything like, you know, what the interactions between people are. I say this is proof that the hiring managers don't know the company culture, and they can't tell you. And every article like Debbie,
culture.
Every article like
their...
Debbie
if,
tells
if
you
anything,
to
I,
and find
if,
out the company
if anything,
culture.
From an outside recruiting standpoint, I'd like to say that this is exactly what we want.
Yeah, I'm with you on
the
that.
Company culture. You can't find the company
seeing
culture.
What the culture is like in visiting
right
our company.
On, man.
Yeah, fine. You know what? You guys, listen, the rule here is you let me talk when I want to talk. Otherwise, the show's going to go downhill, okay? If I have to fight you, I
go
will.
Go downhill?
Yeah.
Stay downhill is what you mean.
Animal, can I answer
you downhill?
I was reading Amy's blog on recruitingblogs.com, and it looked to me like she does not follow up with her hires. She'll bring someone into the company, and even though they're in the same building, presumably, as her, or at least in the same firm, she doesn't check in with them every month.
What
How's
makes you
going?
Say that?
Yeah.
Because you said you're surprised to find people you struggled to bring into the company are now in other firms. It's a big surprise to you, and you said, hey, you
Where
know
did
what?
I say
I
that?
You said, I'm not going to feel bad because that's just more work for me. I've got work to do, and they're going to keep me on.
What?
What?
Are you paraphrasing what I said? Because that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Well,
I say a lot of dumb things
word?
Like, yo, I'll come on
you
the
want
animal
me to read
shirt,
word?
But I don't think I said that.
What did you say?
Which blog is it? I have like 50 of them.
Okay,
yeah,
let me just
say.
Ask you a question. You follow up regularly
of
with the people you
I
recruit.
Do. Because you know what? A lot of times the people I recruit are now hiring managers, so we're having a totally different conversation about how we're going to build their team.
Uh-huh. That sounds like a dodge. Oh, yeah, well, they're hiring managers, so I automatically. Do you follow up? Zeller?
Yep.
Derek, do you follow up with the people you bring into the company every month, check in to see how it's going?
I do for the first 2 to 3 months, depending, if I can,
and then
that
if
is.
They, and then if they're not happy, you don't care, right? You'll just bring in somebody else to replace them.
No. That's, no.
No.
No,
I get to bring it, I'll bring it to the attention
Are
of HR or the
for
manager.
Him? Okay. HR Nasty, what about you?
Yeah, we're following up. I mean, the first couple of months, literally weekly, but we're, you know, we're a small company, but we will also...
How small? 6
people? 30. And as
okay.
we grow, we will have probably a 1-to-65-to-75 ratio of HR people just to make sure we can follow up.
Can a third-party recruiter follow up the same way you guys can?
They
Anybody
could.
Anybody can answer. Anybody can
But
answer.
Whether or not they do is a whole different thing.
Mike
yeah.
A. Stringer, got an answer for that?
I can't hear the question. I'm staring at Amy Alla's picture on Facebook while she's speaking. So
see, dude, you're pushing that whole shit too far,
is
man.
Is she wearing the HR Nasty t-shirt?
Get him,
Come
Derek.
On, dude.
I think that's on Twitter. I'm wearing the HR Nasty t-shirt.
Yeah, but you're looking lovingly at a bottle of wine in the picture I'm looking at.
Oh, that I probably already had one when I took the picture.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And it's not on his computer, Amy. It's pinned up on his wall among 100 other pictures of you.
You know what?
No,
maybe there's too many guests on the show. I don't know. Nobody seems to be
out.
I'm just asking.
I called it.
I think Ace Stringer should be an animal
for a new format.
Where
really
I
are.
Wrote this piece of crap that you're putting on me. Where did I say that? Tell
okay,
me which blog post it was.
Issue.
I'll go look at it right now.
You know what?
Now.
Don't go off on a tangent. I just want to know if third-party recruiters follow up regularly with their candidates. And actually, what happens if you call a candidate and the guy says, I'm not happy here, they're not treating me well, and I'm going to leave?
There's
what
a couple of things that you won't let me talk. So I
go ahead, talk.
Well, you not only follow up with them, but you follow up with your client on almost a weekly basis the first month. And that way you catch any glitches that may be happening early.
Kathy's right. A lot of times this is an onboarding issue where a guy is brought in and they're just given a desk. They're not given any real direction, no mentors, nobody to shadow. So Kathy's absolutely right. Make sure that the hiring manager is taking care of their new hire. That can eliminate a lot of these issues.
Thank you, Amy. I finally feel legitimate. Oh, my God.
I love you, Kathy.
I love you too, Derek. You know that.
How am I supposed
okay,
to split my screen
now,
between
Amy,
Kathy
Amy,
Manis
Amy,
and Amy Alla?
Amy.
Problem. Yes.
Amy Alla?
What?
Okay,
yes.
You can lead
what?
Your three, you two guys there and yourself in a discussion of whatever topic it was you came on to discuss. I'm not having much success with you.
You know, so I would like to say from a corporate recruiting standpoint, I would love it if we could work more with an agency person because I feel like the agency recruiter that brings on a candidate can back channel feedback or check in. And it's in the benefit of the candidate or the new hire's best interest to get as much help as possible. So,
you know what, HR Nasty? You can't do that. Well, you're going to have a private conversation with – I'm going to have a private conversation with the candidate and then snitch to you? That's no good. What
no, I'm going to have a private – I am going to have a private conversation or the option is there to have a private conversation with the recruiter that brought him in to, hey, would you have coffee with this person and check in? And then reinforce some of the culture or management things that are going on with this company because theoretically the agency recruiter will have a history with this company and have credibility with the new hire.
Maybe it's true. It's never been the case for me. I'll tell you something
else,
though.
It is when you have an agency recruiter that's doing repeat business with a hiring manager.
What if, HR Nasty, what if the candidate tells the recruiter after a month, I'm not happy here. I want to leave.
Then I would hope that the agency recruiter comes to us and says, hey, this is what's going on, and then we can start making some moves to make adjustments. It surprises me how many times a person will quit a job and not go to HR or not go to their manager just with the assumption that nothing can be done.
That's the bad company culture.
Okay. Okay, Amy, do you want to take charge of that conversation that you guys came here to talk about?
You originally invited us on to talk about whether or not recruiters should encourage candidates to interview at companies with a bad culture or a bad reputation. Is that what you want to talk about?
Well, can you go ahead if that's what you're ready to talk about?
We can talk about whatever you want. It's your show, isn't
it? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
You just wanted me to say that? Is that what you were aiming for the whole time?
He wanted you to admit it on the air.
You said, oh, well, you know, guests have come unprepared and it's all my fault. And blah,
Amy,
blah, blah.
The problem
so
is you're way too
and
much women
be,
for him. He just can't handle it.
You know, he wouldn't be the first man that's fallen under that sword. So
ooh,
we will
talk
about whatever you want.
Downwind.
You know,
we're
you want
to
wreck
the
show.
Any of the
you
topics.
Guys want to wreck the show. I mean, like, I got lots of good questions. I read HR Nasty's blog.
Let's get on
to
asking questions.
He had a posting about being strategic, and he said someone who's strategic is never happy with things as they are. They're always wondering how can this be made better. Because he was a guy who was happy to hold you know, when you had to hold your iPhone at a funny angle to get good reception. Other people complained, and they made it better because other people are looking for the best, not mediocre and okay. And so he said that's how you determine if someone's strategic. Now, the reason I mention that is I've had, you know, job orders where they say, I want someone who's strategic. If you ask people, you know, are you strategic? Everybody says yes. If you say, can you give me some examples? You know, they give examples that don't really seem strategic to me. So I'm wondering, starting with HR Nasty and then going to the other recruiters on the show, if they are asking you to find someone who's strategic, how are you going to determine that? HR Nasty number one.
Literally, it'll
come
down to...
Can you speak louder?
It will come down
to
giving me examples of when that candidate has taken the company or that department to the next level, who has been a game changer for that.
That's vague. That is vague. Can you give me an example? A real life example?
Is game changer a bad word on the Animal Show?
I don't mind if he's got something to back
it up.
Should
we reach out to some
next
game
level.
Changers and see
next
what
level
just
is pretty much borderline.
Also, Animal, I hope I'm not in my next review going to be evaluated based on this crappy show.
It's a great show. What are you talking about?
You know, I got to tell you something, Jerry. There's a lot of good people on the show, but it's beyond management. I cannot manage them. I thought they would come here as an organized team, and they failed. Okay?
Yeah,
so
it's like
trying to get an answer.
Top musicians from famous bands and make like a giant, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, everybody in the same band. It always sucks.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, but look, I'm asking HR Nasty, what would you look for? Do you have a real story, like real life story? You know, you're so smart about strategic things. Have you ever had to hire someone who was strategic?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing is, I don't know that it has to be strategic per se. Let's put it into perspective. You can have a person that's worked at a company doing $50 million in revenue and with 400 people. They can come to a smaller company doing $100 million in revenue and have literally 100 people. That person can be strategic just taking the company to the next level.
What does that mean? What's next level?
Next level could be, hey, can you get this company from $10 million in revenue a year to $25 million in revenue a year? Can you get our sales from $10 million to $20 million? Can you get our marketing
efforts? But you're hiring lots of programmers. You're with a startup, an IT startup, right?
Startup, yes.
Okay, so you're hiring programmers. And that's what, you know, maybe you should read your blog posting again, because it was all about programmers and how they are strategic. How can you hire a strategic programmer?
So how can you hire a strategic
programmer? You know
what?
You can't think about it now. Does anybody else have a comment? We got a ton of – listen up, people out there.
You want to hire a strategic
programmer?
You want to hire a strategic programmer?
I got a ton
no,
of
you would,
on the show.
You would hire a programmer and use them strategically.
Thank you.
There you go.
Once again, I'm the best in the world.
I didn't hear what you said.
You'd hire a programmer, Jerry. We tip our hats. Although
okay,
the other thing
Zeller.
You can do, Jerry, is you can hire a
Go ahead.
Sorry,
Alan,
I'm in the middle of just sending out a ton of invoices.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to put you on
the
speaker.
I thought you were losing money, Jerry. What the hell?
Yeah,
okay.
Animal.
Derek
Animal.
Zeller? Yeah.
Yeah, Animal.
Yeah. You have an answer
Bueller.
To the question?
Bueller.
I didn't hear the question.
How do you hire a strategic programmer?
Jerry's answer is good.
Anything. Okay, they don't
Jerry
know the
was
answer.
Right. Well, it's one answer. The other one is if you hire a programmer that actually knows your industry or the business or can understand how it works, that way when they're doing their work, they can do their work even better instead
of
just coding through a
week. I just want everybody to listen. These people are experts, and they don't know how. The client says, bring me someone strategic. They're clueless as to how to figure that out.
No.
I tell them what the strategic problem is.
What is strategic to you, Mr. Hiring Manager? What does that mean to you? What problem will they solve from a strategic perspective? So
right.
You can't
like
just
we had
say,
this
oh,
week.
Yeah, okay, let me go get a strategic person. You got to dig deeper and find out exactly what is the hiring manager trying to solve, and then go find the person, programmer, whatever that can do that.
And I explained to them, we just had a database problem, so I explained to them that I need a back-end programmer that's going to do things specifically with Oracle, and I explained the situation and the problem, and I explained that it was a security problem with inside Oracle itself and the Oracle SQL code.
But that's not really strategic.
You know, Animal, you're bored because you don't understand his terminology.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It should be clear, Kathy. You know what, Kathy,
it's also,
I shouldn't have to struggle to understand it, okay? These guys
it's also because what problems doesn't Oracle have?
Okay, look.
Exactly.
Look, Look, do you guys want me to mute you so I can talk to the guests? Okay, Derek?
Ooh.
Derek Zeller.
I'm right here again.
Derek Zeller got a call. Derek Zeller got a call from like a robocall for
And
what I see it is the ATS draws up a list of people from its database who might be suitable for the job, and then automatically calls them and leaves a voicemail message. I think that's probably in the cards for recruiting. Anybody think it's a good idea? Because Derek, even though he thought the call didn't sound very good, did return it. He thought it was interesting, even if the message was not delivered in a, you know, like an Academy Award performance level.
So he must be looking for a job then.
No, actually, I returned the phone call because of the location of the position, and I knew someone that was in the area that was looking, and I wanted to refer an individual to that position. Mm-hmm. Where the robocall came, it wasn't so much the call itself. It was, A, the call with the location of the call, and, B, when I called back not once, not twice, but three times to this recruiter and never returned a phone call to me, that's when I wrote the blog. I'm like, is this what we do? We just sit there and robocall people, and when they call back, we just don't really care? Because
did the person have an international accent?
That's not what I just asked you, Derek. You know, you want to take it in your own direction, fine. That's not the thing I was raising.
Is that any different than those recruiters that just splash out 500 emails in an hour?
Yeah, splash out 1,000 emails.
You know what? I'm going to say a robocall blast to 100 people, you can tell from his reaction, if it's a good job, they'll call you. They don't care how the message is delivered.
That's accurate.
Okay. And then you know.
Hey, somebody needs to tweet that. Animal was right about something.
I know.
Who's doing the tweeting?
Yeah. They're doing it
actually in 3 years I've been on this show. I've never actually heard him give good advice.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
let's
impressed.
Take a moment and reflect here.
Let's please.
Take a moment of silence.
Moment of silence.
We should give him an Emmy.
Was that a strategic comment from Animal? That
right.
was a strategic comment.
Wow.
Has
Animal's
Animal
now a strategic recruiter. Is Animal a SME?
The show just went uphill.
He's
oh,
a
my God.
Host.
I think his cloud just went up.
I'm a recruiter yet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Animal, you saved the show, you thought leader, you.
Be careful, Amy. He's being very quiet, so he's coming up with a good one.
No, maybe I could talk.
Himself.
If you guys would be quiet for a second,
everybody be quiet. We'll all be quiet.
Animal, you deserve every problem that having three guests on your show brings. Every one of them. I'm sitting here just kind of laughing, chuckling, doing invoices, laughing.
But you know what, Jerry? I thought his topic today was going to be something along the lines of who's my baby daddy, so at least we're talking about recruiting. That's a step up.
I thought you were, Mike.
That is an improvement over the past few shows.
I want to know who the mom of the puppet is.
That's better than the first name you suggested for the show, A Stringer.
I don't even remember. I tweeted out several.
A threesome featuring Amy Alla.
Oh, God.
I never said that. Come on now. I would not say that on Twitter.
You know, A Stringer, you should really be HR nasty considering the comments you make about Amy Alla.
But they're not negative. I love Amy Alla. I dream
of
Amy
Alla. We know you do.
Okay, Animal, back to you. Back
and
to
Amy
you.
Alla's husband did say I could have her, by the way.
To my charity run. If everybody loves me so much, why is nobody showing me any love with cash?
I did.
My charity. That's
I said money.
Let me tell you something. You didn't tell me it would only take cash. I'm there.
Yes, I think you got to step up and go from groupie or go from stalker to groupie. The stalker wouldn't give the cash.
Yeah.
Amy,
okay.
Do you like Harley's?
Animal, are you still here, man?
Yeah, I can't get a word in, and I don't have a loud phone
man.
In the group. What am I going to do? I mean, I have to.
You can't get a word in?
Are people having problems with Twitter? I can't post anything. Is anybody else having a problem?
Twitter sucks.
Actually, I need to give a Twitter update here.
Jerry.
All of us need to shut up because HR Gal Friday is very upset that Jerry, myself, and Kathy are doing all the talking. So,
way.
Well, it was the show about the Three Stooges. That's,
true.
Getting.
All right,
HR,
so what's the next question?
Get Mike, Jerry, and Kathy
let me add,
instead of the other Three Stooges.
I tuned in to hear the three guests, not Jerry, not Mike, and not whoever Kathy is.
This is
unfortunate. Everybody, save this show for whoever HR Gal Friday is.
I have tears coming down my cheeks right now. I feel finished.
Let me entreat you all to HR Gal Friday. Dominique, unofficial HR student, She's a blogger. She's a writer.
She does.
She's an office manager and smartass in residence in cell block D. She's addicted to Buffy, Diet Dr. Pepper, and Sharpie pens. Hailing from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And you can catch her at HRGalFriday.com.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Yeah, she's actually very sweet, and I like her writing style.
Cool.
So
I just followed her.
She's good.
Ditto.
I like
Ditto.
Her.
Plus one here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back
you
to
go,
you,
Dominique.
Animal. Animal, I'm trying to keep a hold of this thing for you, dude.
Here's what you can do for me, Jerry. Your phone's much louder than mine. Just tell everyone to shut up so I can ask
you
a question. Okay?
Shut up. Animal's got a question.
Sound like people hang.
Okay, good. Okay, HR Nasty, 5 minutes, you know, from the time I said I wanted to ask you this question, you've got an article that says that you judge people, candidates, by their outgoing voicemail messages, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, wake up, okay?
So I thought we were on the other blog post there. As Amy Out Live got a few out there. So, yes. If I'm calling a candidate and I get some rap music, what I'm looking for is a professional message on the answering machine, the same kind of message that I could imagine on our company voicemail. So,
yeah.
Well, my
agreed.
Point is, here's my point. Here's a strategic point. This is a strategic point. If you've got a resume from someone who's got the skills you need, are you going to rule them out because you don't like the sound of their voicemail?
Nope.
I'm not going to rule them out, but I'm not going to be thinking positively about them. It's not
pardon me, Amy was talking right over you. I didn't hear a word you said.
Go ahead, Amy.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it depends on how many other similar candidates you have. You know, if he's the only one that could possibly be a fit, then we'll probably go ahead and call him. But if I've got three or four other people to call, he's going to be at the back of the pile.
You know what? I guess
yes.
It's different being a corporate recruiter. You always seem to have dozens of people for one job. As a headhunter, you're lucky to get people who are good, and I wouldn't want to throw them away. So I would never throw someone away because I didn't like their voicemail. Okay.
Well,
yeah, I'm not
going to
throw them away. The blog post was written
for
the candidate to increase their chances of getting a call back. And I do think there are a number of recruiters out there that if they hear that or the hiring – I'm ultimately scared of the hiring manager calling that candidate and getting that reaction because I'm going to hear from the hiring manager about how unprofessional the message
was. You know
what?
If you had a really good candidate and the hiring manager said, I don't want to interview him because I don't like his voicemail, and you struggled to find that person, what are you going to say?
At the end of the day, the hiring manager is my customer.
Don't say at the end of the day. That's one of the bad words, okay? What are you going to do?
At the end of the day, the hiring manager is one of my customers, is my customer. And,
yeah, and
I've
so
got to go with the customer.
You let the customer kick you around whenever they want to, even if you're right.
If I want the return business, if I want a job, yes.
You know what? I got to tell you, I think Amy said on her blog, on recruiting blogs, that if she's got a customer like that, she fires them. Why waste time with someone who's a jerk? Didn't you say that, Amy?
Yes.
Okay. And if you struggle to find a good person and they don't like the outgoing voicemail message and they're going to rule them out for that reason, what would you do, Amy?
Okay, here's what I would do. The first
Dan,
conversation
this
I
would never
with,
happen, man.
Hold on. Hold. Stop it. The first conversation I would have with the candidate is I'd say, hey, listen, I want to make sure that if there's ever a chance the hiring manager is going to call you and get your voicemail, he doesn't hear this. Do you mind changing it until you're gainfully employed
okay,
with our
so
company?
Okay, so the main question is you wouldn't rule somebody out because of their voicemail, and you wouldn't let someone else do it either. You'd go out of your way to make sure it didn't happen.
I'd make them change their voicemail.
Okay, so I
think or
this
I would move on to other candidates.
Okay. So you can't always just move on to other candidates for these petty reasons. That's my strategic
point.
Oh,
yes, she can. She's Microsoft, Animal.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, not only that, she's Amy Howard.
Dude, that was
whatever the hell she wants.
I can do whatever the hell I want. Exactly.
Jerry, let's
thank
come
you.
Back into the real world. Then
what's
HR
that?
Nasty, he's got a million points like this. If you don't like his phone manner, are you going to rule out the candidate because you don't like his phone manner if he's a great candidate? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. No, man, this is kind of a non-topic, man. What else you got?
He went on and on. He said,
seriously?
Yeah, I mean, it's endless.
Oh,
boy. Okay, here's what, Derek?
That wasn't me. That was Derek.
Okay. Derek, you have something to say?
I'm just sitting here.
I'm lucky I got on.
He also says that a recruiter will look at your social media profile, your blog, and your picture, and decide on that basis whether they want to bring you in or not. I'm saying if you got a resume with the right skills, you're not going to do that to somebody. You're not going to slit your own throat for these superficial issues. But HR Nasty, you're saying you would. Is that right?
No.
I would, because I'm going to have five other employees interviewing this candidate. I'm going to have a hiring manager interviewing this candidate, and these guys are going to be checking the same sources I'm checking. They're going to – this is a small town here. They're going to call their friends and say, hey, do you know this person? I've got to be careful.
Okay.
What kind of stuff are they going to come up with?
Every time I bring a candidate through.
What kind of stuff are you talking about, though?
I'll read you. Let me tell you. If you come, if you're a candidate and you come into the company lobby with a cup of coffee in your hand, he doesn't like you. If you come in there and you're talking on a cell phone, you're out. If you've got sunglasses on your head, forget it. He'll rule you out for anything. I mean, the guy's
this is nuts.
He's nasty.
He's nasty. He is.
Nasty.
He's like a school marm.
Oh,
really,
God.
I wonder.
That's what works in his company, and I think that's what you have to understand is what works with his company for his very small startup in this very small town in the tech world. That's what he needs to do.
Sounds
I
like they're
going to
stay very small.
That's what my company needs.
Yeah, especially if they're doing 10 interviews for every
very
person.
Very small is their goal.
Yeah, but my point is, I asked him the culture of the company a few minutes ago. He didn't say we run it like a concentration camp, but that's what he should have said.
Yeah.
No, he should have said, we are very discerning.
Okay. Now, look, with this resume issue, here's another thing. If you've got strong skills, is it possible to write a resume so badly that your skills don't slap somebody in the face? I don't think so. If you've got strong skills, it's impossible to hide them. With someone, do you guys think that anybody, you've ever missed out on somebody good because they didn't write their resume properly, starting with Zeller?
Yes.
Really? What? Give me an example. Do you have any examples where you found out later on, this guy was good, you just couldn't tell it from his resume?
Yeah, actually I did. It was a SaaS programmer that was relatively new to the industry. He'd been out of school for about a year and a half. And he just didn't have a properly written resume to explain that he really had a lot more hands-on work when he was in school. So it looked like he only had really a year's experience, and I needed, you know, like 3-4 years experience minimum for the contract that we were trying to fill. And unfortunately, had I known that he had for the last, you know, 2.5 years while he was in school, his junior year, senior year, and then that summer following, he had been working with a very large pharmaceutical company writing SaaS code, but he just didn't think it was relevant because he didn't get paid. So, you know, that's our education system.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't even know to do that. So,
you have another example? That's a good example. Got another one?
That was pretty good.
For someone who wasn't coming out of school, for like a real someone in the workforce already?
No, I mean, most people now, at least in the last number of years, have really figured out how to write a better resume and at least put in the skill set.
Really?
I think so. At least in the tech, at least in the IT cleared world where I'm at, most people are pretty proficient at what they're doing, at least in the programming world.
But let me ask you a question. If someone's got strong skills, is it possible to hide them? Like this guy was in school, so you can understand maybe he thought it didn't count. But if you're actually in the workforce and you've got a strong set of skills, can you write your resume so badly that they don't stand out? I think that's going to be difficult. What do you think?
I think it can be difficult based on, I mean, if you're really going out of your way to make it look bad, then
but wouldn't you say then
why
that
would
all
you
the
do
fuss
that?
About all the fuss about resumes is maybe a little hyped up. I mean, it's overhyped. The people, they just have to say in a straightforward manner what they're doing, and it's going to, you know, come across.
You're right, Animal.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, if I'm looking for a specific programming skill and you don't list it, then you're not going to get. I'm not going to talk to you. So it wouldn't behoove you to do that. I don't know many programmers who live in a specific programming language world that don't list. Yeah, that's what I'm programming in because it wouldn't make any sense not
anybody
to.
Anybody else got a
And if somebody does, say I'm looking for a C# developer, and everything on their resume is there but C#. If I ask, well, how much have you done with C#? And he says, oh, a ton. Then I'm going to say, you're a liar.
Right.
If you've done it, you put it on your resume.
If you've done it, you put it on your resume.
This is a dead horse.
I just want to know, there's a lot of recruiters here, especially the Three Stooges.
Sure,
Does anybody think you can hide your talent and skill on a resume? What about you, Nasty?
Yes, I do think you can. I think that there are a lot of people who have worked at a company for 10, 15, 20 years. They get laid off, and they haven't kept up with how to write a resume, how to do a job search, and they come out, and the resume might not be bad. It's just not good. It's uninteresting,
yeah.
And hiring managers have become sophisticated
okay.
in the last few years.
Uninteresting is different from are my basic skills there. If it's, can you actually bury your basic skills? Is that what that's what I'm asking? Have you ever seen?
You're asking it wrong.
What should I be saying?
Could a person not be reflecting what they're capable of doing on the resume? Burying doesn't. Are you saying, do I want to hide my skills or I'm not showing my skills? It's two different
resumes
things.
Resumes aren't about what you're capable of. Resumes are about what you did. Period.
I partly disagree with you nowadays, Jerry.
So are you a resume writer and you're telling all these people how to hype up their crap on a resume?
Nope.
Come on,
no,
man.
I'm telling
Stay
you that.
Recruiting.
No, I'm not telling
Jerry.
You that.
Resumes are about what you've done. They're not about what you're capable of. I mean, what?
Accomplishments. Accomplishments, accomplishments, accomplishments. So
and if you know how
to
read a resume, Jerry,
what?
Instead of just looking for C-sharp, you can imply what they've done and figure out, to some degree, what they're potentially capable of doing.
Imply or infer?
Either.
Okay, let me just move on, okay?
But they're all
supposed to be,
Let me just move on. Okay? I got to tell you, I was totally fascinated by all the things that HR Nasty says he doesn't like or you have to do. If he sees you sitting in the waiting room and you're smiling, you're not talking to anybody, you're smiling, you're out. You look like a nut to him. Or if you're frowny, you're out. He doesn't like it. And one of the most crucial parts of the interview is the walk from the waiting room to the interview room. You have to handle it a certain way. You got to prepare in advance to have some chit-chat to talk about with the recruiter in an upbeat way. You have to compliment them on the decor in the office or the energy in the office or how great the directions were to the company. HR
you got to high-five people on the way, too.
You do?
Yeah, I think I've talked with a number of candidates, and that walk from the lobby to the interview room is dead silent, and it just doesn't set the right – I'm not saying I'm going to knock them out of the interview loop. I'm just saying you can do so much better with a little bit of chit-chat and a smiling face in the lobby. You can set the tone, and you can start driving and controlling that interview as the candidate. If you just come in there as a wet fish, if you are silent and not giving me anything – it sets a different vibe and a different tone for the rest of the morning.
You know what? You should describe your company's culture maybe as kind of churchy. Is that good? Okay, Amy, would you ever bring? You don't bring people into the office.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes.
And you judge them and knock them out because of that walk, the long walk.
No, because by the time they come into the interview, now they're doing a full day interview loop. So we're already pretty far in the process. Like, they're getting an offer or not getting an offer probably the next day. So,
okay.
But I do spend that time, if they're off during that walk, we'll spend that half hour they have with me to prepare for how am I going to present myself to these, you know, five or six people I'm meeting with one-on-one over the course of this day.
Hey, I don't know. Didn't you hear my question? I didn't ask that.
Can you guys hear me chewing these peanuts? Is this rude?
No.
No.
I'm really into it, man. They're, like, lightly salted.
A lot of times,
so Amy, wait a minute. If I were to apply for a job
at
Microsoft,
that
would mean
that
I get to spend the morning with you?
I'm not writing that blog for a recruiter on how to do their job. What I'm doing is I'm writing that blog for a candidate to increase their chances on getting to the next step.
Have you ever seen someone sitting there smiling to themselves and you said, that guy looks like an idiot, I'm not going to hire him?
I can't say that I have.
Okay. Do you hire people based on looks, Animal?
This guy does. Okay. So let's say, I was reading this blog by a good guy named Paul Gumbinner. Funny name, he should change it. But he said, somebody said in the comments that if the candidate gives you a start date that's more than 3 weeks out, there's an issue. And you have to ask her if she's going to, if she's actually considering a counteroffer from her current employer. Anybody agree with that?
I think 3 weeks is way too long.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
what would you say?
Two weeks is appropriate. 3 weeks maybe if they're, you know, depending on relocating or whatever. But, no, we want to close it. We're hiring you because we need you to come and do something for us. I can't wait 6 months for you to show up.
Yeah, well, what if they say their current company is shorthanded, they're a loyal employee, they just don't want to dump them, they want to fit. And I've had this
then
kind of stuff
happen.
Then
why are you interviewing for a new job, Mr. Candidate? These conversations conversations need to happen way before we get to offer stage. We need to have a commitment from the candidate that if we move forward, if we interview, if we make an offer, are you in, are you in, are you in? Close, 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 close. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job as a recruiter.
You know what?
Amen.
You're dealing with people who are a dime a dozen, it sounds like to me. And if you don't like one, there's plenty of fish in the sea.
She's recruiting for a world-class recruiter, a Fortune 100 company, and they can have the pick. They're bringing people from all over the world. They aren't.
Until they get smart and leave.
But I'm also competing with companies like Google and Facebook. So, no, they're not a dime a dozen. I still have all the same challenges everybody else does. But my point is the recruiter's job, part of our job, and the service that we provide is to make sure that we can deliver. We've got to continually close on both sides and make sure as we keep moving this process forward and keep getting closer to offer stage that everybody's in.
Look, I think that some people are always going to be in the middle of a project, and if they're sincere people and loyal, they don't want to leave their guys hanging. It's always going
to
be.
Then they wouldn't have wanted to leave in the first place.
Then call me in 6 months when you're ready to leave. Because
there's never
going to
be a time when they're not in the middle of something. Okay, that's the point.
Then they need to get to a place where they can disengage, where they can leave, where they can put in a 2 week notice. If they're not there, then they're not the candidate for me. I don't care what company I am. This is not a Microsoft thing. This is any company I've ever worked with or for.
Anybody
and I think she
opinion?
Cleared that up when she said, hey, I'm talking to the candidate throughout the interview process, and this is not going to be a hassle. This is not going to be an issue at the last minute. This is going to get cleared up in the first couple of interviews.
This, right. Yeah, Chris Fleek here. What I would say is the same loyalty that you're opposed to up front is loyalty that's going to benefit that employer on the back end. So I'm not opposed to you being against 3 weeks.
Not if they don't leave their company to join mine. I appreciate loyalty. I get what you're saying, Chris, and that is important, but I need to get to a point with a candidate where, okay, what's your level of comfort with putting in a notice? Let's say, you know, you come in for an interview in the next couple weeks. We have a pretty quick turnaround. We're going to make you an offer. What's that conversation going to look like with your boss? Oh, I just can't do it. I'm committed for another 3 months. Okay, great. Why don't you call me in two? Maybe I'll have another similar position open, and it'll be a better time for everybody. Because I can't go back to my hiring manager, who is my customer, and say, gosh, I know he's great, and you know we're taking him from Google, and he's awesome and fabulous and affordable, but he's got to finish this project. What about my client's projects?
Right, but to be fair, you said 3 weeks was too long, not months.
Yeah.
No, I think 3 weeks, potentially 3 weeks is okay if we're talking about relocation, things like that. But we still need that drop-dead date. Like, I have put notice in. I will be in Seattle by this date. I will be in my seat by this date.
So when relocation is involved, how long do you think is typical then?
3 to 4 weeks at the most.
So that would include selling a house.
That's not our problem. It's selling a house.
They need to work that out. I mean, these are conversations that are happening all throughout. We have people who leave their family at home to finish selling the house, and they come early, and maybe they commute, you know, or whatever for the first month or two. I mean, but again, that's when you're making that commitment.
And they do. This is Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
yeah,
I mean, you must be talking about big companies
jobs.
Because you know what? In today's real estate market, for a startup or a small company to either wait or pay for somebody's transportation to their house sales, it's insane.
Yeah. Okay, but let me ask you this. So are we saying that it's reasonable then to wait for somebody to show up in 3 months? Is that reasonable
for
the work that my company needs to get done?
3 weeks for a reload, 2 weeks if you're in town.
Yep.
Period.
I need to hire somebody now. I have a position open now because there is a problem that needs to be solved and work that needs to be done. I don't want to hire
her company. This is why she's having those conversations, and this is why the survey isn't going to do it. We want to, if we're going to work with an agency recruiter, we want to have that face-to-face conversation and get these things ironed out before the offer is made. Because now we go to the hiring manager and we have egg on our face.
Amy,
okay,
by the way,
I agree.
Say the word. I could be there in a matter of days.
Okay. Okay.
Can you sell your house?
I got another good one from Paul Gumbiner, and I left him a message. Maybe he wants to come on the show sometime. He had a candidate who was knocked out, a very good candidate, who was knocked out because the client thought the candidate's commute was too long. Now, it seems to me I might have had that situation before, too. They think, this guy has to come so far, the other person's going to be more interested. And, you know, when I stressed that that's not an issue, this is a much better person, what would you say to a client who rules somebody out because they think that guy's, you know, or woman's commute is too long? Zeller?
Has the candidate...
Sorry, I mean, there's other people on the show.
No, there's not.
Zeller?
Yes.
Still there? There's
yeah.
Zeller.
I lost
up.
You for a second. What's going on?
Well, you know what? You can just talk anytime. You don't have to be quiet when your master Amy is talking. You can actually speak up. I don't know what she told you beforehand. You're allowed to talk.
I like her to just continue to talk. It's much better. Go ahead.
Master Amy, that is such a turn on.
Oh, my gosh. I am the nicest, most mean and gentle person they know.
Right, yeah. So, Derek Zeller.
Yes, sir.
If the client ruled out your candidate, your good candidate, because, he's not going to stay with us for a long time because the commute is too long, what would you say?
That actually is a very good issue for the D.C. metro area. There are managers that have said, I know this guy is living in this particular zip code area, and I know how long of a commute that is, and that's going to kill him, and I know they're not going to be here after 6 months. I just tell them that's not a non-question. I said, we're not going to not interview him for that reason or that person for that reason. I've traveled up to 45 minutes to an hour myself, and so have you. It's not a question that we have. I don't even really pose that into the scenario. Most of the time when I submit a candidate, I'm like, this is the reason
so
why we're going to be
guy,
interviewing.
Shut up. Don't give me that bullshit. Is that what you say?
Pretty much
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Whoa.
Yep.
Okay, let's hear from someone else. Last question, unfortunately. Show's just getting interesting.
Whose fault is that?
You need a part two. This is too
okay,
good.
Kathy,
yeah, it's called the after show.
Kathy Manis, you get the last comment. What about this commute issue? What would you say?
Well, I would say that you have to go with the best qualified candidate. I commuted from Orange County, San Diego to Orange County for 2 years, which was an hour and 45 minutes each way.
Whoa.
My goodness.
And, I was the top biller in the company. So, you know, you cannot judge a candidate on distance or length, Mike A. Stringer.
Okay, thank you. Three shooters.
And perhaps they're already making that commute. Maybe they're working at a competitor next door. If they've been driving to this area for 3 years, then it's a non-issue.
Okay,
so
I just want
to
thank,
well.
Before I forget, I want to thank Chris Fleek for standing up, you know, to this tough woman, let's say, because the other two guys didn't have the whatever it takes to do it, okay? Thanks for calling in, Chris Fleek, and doing that. Now, we're going to go from HR Nasty to Derek Zeller to Amy Awa for your last comments. HR Nasty, thank you for coming on the show. Any parting words?
No, I appreciate you having me
blog.
On again. I thought I lost my opportunity.
Can I say, this guy's got a good blog. HR Nasty, you should take a look at it.
Yeah.
Okay, what was your parting word before
you.
I cut you off?
You made my day.
Good.
It's a piece
words?
Of garbage.
What were your
That's
parting
great.
Words? What were your parting words?
For me?
No, for HR Nasty. Did he say something?
He said thank you.
I didn't say I just said thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Fine, great. Thanks for coming back. Derek Zeller, Teddy Bear.
Nasty boy.
I don't know, Amy. If Amy's going to let me say something, then I'm sure she will. I'll be saying thank you so much for having us all on the show.
Uh-huh.
Animal, you're awesome. We love you so much.
I thought you guys would like give words of wisdom or a tip as the parting words, but you can just say thanks, Amy Awa.
I'm going to say you're welcome for giving you an awesome show again.
Nice. We'll let the scores reflect that, Amy.
All right, Amy.
Amy, can you end the show?
That was premature scorulation there.
I just dropped rapidly right there. No, I think it was a good show. I know, Animal, you struggle with the format, and, you know, one guest, two guests, three guests, whatever. I think
Did
it was
I
a good show.
For, this
was
is not
good
the after show. I didn't ask you to rate the show.
Excuse me. This is my time to talk.
Okay.
have met HR Nasty in person. He is as genuine and real and honest and open as he is in his blogs. I think he has a great blog, and having known him in person and
thank
having shared
you.
That's the same thing
him,
you said last time, Amy.
He's,
verbatim.
Well,
You've got this written down.
Come on.
Suck up. Get something new.
Amy, can you end the show with the date of our next date or our first date?
You know what? No, this is how I'm going to end the show. Everybody, I'm making my 7-year-old and 9-year-old run in a 5K to stop human trafficking. Check it out, give.worldconcern.org/Olive Family. My kids are running to raise money. Help them out. It'll mean a lot to them. It's not for me. It's for the kids.
Will it mean a lot
to
you?
Me. Look at your reply back to me with the resume.
Tweet that, Amy. Would you?
Okay, listen. Listen, before we go, Jerry, there's a ton of people on here. You wanted to stay for your after show.
Of course.
So I'm going to go right now. Everybody, thank you!
I dedicate that song to Amy Alla.
You such a thing, you.
Do we have to hang up now? I like
no.
the after show.
No.
No, only when there's one guest. When there's three guests, why don't we just go all
we
wild?
I don't want to influence the scores.
No, you can't. I'm sure, you know, because A Stringer's going to give you 100. He'll ask if he can give you 110.
150.
Yeah.
Mm.
He wants to give you all that is legally allowed to give you, Amy. I'm sure of that.
I will give her everything I have.
Yep. Okay, so, but you just can't, how about you guys can stay there in case we have any questions? Like, kind of like I've noticed now on some of these trials when I'm watching Fox News, they'll bring back the jury to ask questions. So you stay right there, okay? If we have any questions, we will call on you, all right? Mike, what do you think about this mismanaged from the beginning show?
I have one comment to make, and if the guy's still listening, I don't want to offend him, but
go ahead.
HR Nasty has a very interesting communication style. I was sort of waiting for you. Remember the old cartoons when we were kids? My name's HR Nasty, and I own a mansion and a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Huh,
really?
And he doesn't, and that's what's crazy. I guess I see him so differently because I know him, and you know, personally, and I know his wife, and they're just wonderful, humble people. So I hear what you're saying, but I know him in such a different way. It's weird.
So I just kept, as he was talking, I just kept thinking to myself, so he's a recruiter. He calls me on my resume. Hello, my name is HR Nasty. I don't know. but you know what?
Trust me, you've won. Do you have your credit card available?
My
Mike, have you ever thought
Nasty.
About having, like, a phone line business? I'm not going to get too specific, but you have the voice for it.
Mike?
Yeah.
When he the stuff that turns you people in California on, well, this amazes me. I mean, I'll never understand either coast of this country.
Kathy, what are you wearing?
There you go. Huh.
I can't be a party to this, okay?
People. Oh, Jesus.
This is a legitimate after show.
Yeah, get it back on track there.
So anyway, just to say what I was saying about HR. So he works for a startup, which is a much, much different culture that, interestingly, he didn't really do a very good job describing. But because I work a lot in the startup space too, like he is, to me, just a little bit of a different – I almost said the word odd, and I didn't mean to – a little bit of a different – sort of
unique
phone voice and presentation for that type of world. So that's
mm-hmm.
something I might have jumped into a little bit with him if I was Animal, was sort of his
presentation. Do you think he just sounds a little weak or what? I mean,
he sounds a little bit stiff to me for the startup world.
See, once you've said, hey, I don't want to offend the guy, then you're free to say whatever you want because the disclaimer covered it all.
All right,
so what do you really think about this guy?
You know what? He's probably a great guy. I'll take Amy's word for it because I'm in love with Amy. But I just he just seems a little stiff for the startup world to me. That was just my one impression of him.
So lay some scores on us here, Mike. We don't have room to do three different scores. So you have to go with the guests as a group, as a team.
Well, Amy's going to put this way over the top because I would have given her 150. Derek didn't talk very much.
He didn't do anything. I wasn't even sure why Derek was even on the show.
Yeah, honestly.
He's probably embarrassed.
And HR Nasty did okay. So combined, I'll give them a 90.
Man.
But again, Amy puts that way over the top.
Yeah, so that's like 175 for Amy. 20 for the guy with the weird voice, and you don't even know if Derek was on the show.
Exactly.
So, okay. Thanks, Jay. All right, what do you think about Animal?
Animal's past his prime.
Yep.
It's time for him
I'm
to
I'm going to agree with that. He started off like he was on a wild bronco at the fair. It was just crazy. He was on top and just flinging, and he didn't know what was going on. It was
sure
out of control.
It's not very often that somebody actually says that Animal's on top.
I was going to say that, but
people.
These coastal people.
Jeez.
Man. I'm going to give Animal a 75. I think he had good intentions, but he let us run over the show.
Yep. I'm with you.
You know, and I gave him four topics, like kind of broad topics. You know, we could talk about these certain things. He didn't touch any of them.
Really?
Yeah. He comes back with me. These are too strategic. Like, what do you mean strategic? I gave you things that we would be prepared to talk about. You come up with questions. What do you mean too strategic? Well, he learned a new word this week. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him.
Actually, Jerry, that reminds me. I got to bump my score by 5 points for Animal. I totally forgot about that in the beginning of the show, that he actually was both strategic and correct.
True. Okay. All right. It's just as simple as putting an X on 75 and writing 80 right beside it. We're pretty flexible here. Who else has a score? Alan, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always like listening to A Stringer and Amy. Animal kind of lost it for a while there. HR Nasty, I mean, I like some of the stuff that I read on his blog, but I always have a challenge of, if someone's going to say something, own it. Don't try to do it under the, I'm saying this because it's top secret. I don't want to get in trouble. I mean, when he was on Animal's show, they do 10 interviews or something, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, he's actually more HR than he's recruiting. But he's got a good voice. He's probably a very good recruiter. I'd like to see who he is and see if he owns it.
See, but A Stringer didn't like his voice.
I think his presentation.
No, his presentation. I think Mike makes a good point. He's actually sort of an opposite for startups, where he's got kind of that little calm, geeky thing going on, but you kind of have to break through it.
Do you think he's possibly afraid of his who he really looks like? Because I've got one of his stickers here, and he's like some fake guy in a suit. That's not him.
I think his thought originally was probably, I'm going to publish honesty under a pseudonym so I can publish honestly. And all I think is that it's just a bunch of BS, because you can't ever verify who's doing it. And if they're legitimate, like your HR Friday girl, she's what, an unofficial HR person? That's great. But what do you really do? An office assistant? Come on. Give me a break. I can blog too, but I don't. So I think I like the guests overall. Overall, I'd give the guests an 80. Animal was losing it today. I got to give him like a 57.
Animal's score from last week's show, I believe, was, I want to say rock bottom. He got like 50 or something.
Well, I think
it was horrendous. I'll review it right now, because I keep a pretty detailed deal here.
I mean, I think what you should do, Jerry, is, you know, if you want to, is
55.83 Animal.
Have him recruit on a couple of your jobs and get him back in the trenches.
No, I tried, but I can't deal with training wheels. I mean, I just can't. You know, I'm a high speed whack 'em stack 'em kind of.
I mean, I promoted him. I promoted his show like crazy at the ERE, because I think it's a great alternative. But
we all have kind of a debt to Animal as he winds down. You know, as he heads off into the sunset. So, you know, I'm sure a couple more shows, and he's going to need to do something different. So
last week I did try and suggest to him that listen, we all think that he should go apply and be a barista at Starbucks.
He'd be a great one.
They'd fire him.
He'd be yelling at people. You don't even know what kind of coffee you want, jerk. Get out of here.
Latte. That is a latte. How stupid are you?
That could work.
Yeah, it could work. Yeah.
All right, Kathy Manis, are you still with us?
I am, and I respectfully disagree about Animal score. The very fact that he got three awesome guests together on one show shows his popularity and how much fun that we have. So I've got to give Animal a 95.
Wow.
And plus,
wow.
I thought he had a good point.
Even though he disregards you,
Amy,
or Kathy?
He sidelines you every week, Kathy.
I know that, but I'm used to it. I just That's just how it is. And so I just thought...
I love a woman who's willing to be a martyr.
I'm submissive when I need to be.
Oh, I love that.
And I think the guests were just wonderful. I want a second show. I really do. I thought it was so much fun and great points. So I've got to give them a 95.
We can come back and talk about the actual topics that I gave Animal. How about that?
Yeah, it was great. It was your points, Amy. It was funny because my fiance just became a judge and he had to go to Washington D.C. They didn't fly him back. They didn't pay for his ticket. He had 3 days' notice. They didn't pay for his relocation. They didn't pay for anything. And he was there, and he got the job with the help of Daryl.
Yeah, and I know Daryl disagrees with me, but the reality is, I'm not saying we're never going to talk to you again, Mr. Candidate, because you won't bail right now. I mean, maybe we talk again in 3 months. But if you're seriously interviewing for a job that's open now and we're interviewing right now, you kind of need to take the job right now. I mean, I'm not going to hire somebody for a job that's open now and hire them.
Not only that, he paid for
everything
out of his own pocket, including the hotel room, and he was never reimbursed. So if you're serious, you're going to do it. So anyway, I thought it was a great show. You guys all did great.
Thank
you.
It was fun.
Okay, anybody else?
Oh, sure, I'm here, Fleek.
Fleek!
I think the guests did a great job and had to kind of work with Animal doing more interrupting than normal early on in the show. Took Animal a while to kind of get his footing in this one, it felt like. So guests, I'm going to go a 91.
Wow.
And hosts, today I'm going to say a 77.
See, here's my question. I don't understand the guests all getting these very high scores when you really couldn't tell. I'm not sure if we got anywhere. Is everybody just so excited that there were three people on at the same time? I mean, did they start off at 80 and they couldn't? Explain this to me, Fleek.
You know how researchers, what they'll do is they'll put people in a theater and have them watch things on a video screen, and you have to tell them if you have a positive impression or a negative impression.
Like you have a little joystick right there, and it goes up or down. Yeah,
yeah, it's like the Fox News thing during the election.
I picture Mike Astringer doing that for some reason.
Only when Amy.
Don't know why.
Oh, my goodness.
So what I would say about today is when the guests were talking, I had positive impressions. Most of the time. So it doesn't matter that, I'm not so worried about the content, where we went.
It just felt good. It felt good,
right.
Yeah.
It was entertaining, right? Like, that's the point. It's lunchtime entertainment.
Yep. Can we stick with felt good?
Yes.
Hey, Jerry, can I ask you a question?
Who has a question?
I do.
A Stringer?
Every week for the last many, many weeks, Animal's gotten beat up pretty bad on the after show. Should we be worried about him? Be calling the suicide hotline? Anything like that?
Well, okay. I probably shouldn't be telling you guys this, but he's got a pretty big announcement coming up.
I don't want him to resign. I hope he's not doing that.
I'm not. I didn't say that.
I know.
Yeah,
did.
I didn't say that.
You watch. Not as many people are going to be on this show.
If he hands
it off to somebody else?
It would depend who he handed it off to, and I would be just so sad.
I think if Jerry was hosting the show and I was hosting the after show, we'd build a pretty good audience.
Yeah, we'd probably do it, but I don't know if I have the time. Man, in the summer, I pretty much, nowadays, I don't work. So having to actually be in my office Wednesday kind of bugs me. I should be out golfing right now. Actually, mushroom hunting. It's mushroom season.
Well, Jerry, those invoices aren't going to send themselves.
That's true. And I'm in the middle. I accidentally sent two invoices for the same period. It's crazy. I messed up bad.
Let them pay it.
Invoice. Well, they paid it. They paid the wrong amount. So now you got to send a new one with balance due for invoice 12940. That's just crazy. It's crazy. But I'm sure we'll sort it all out. Anybody else have a score? What?
Yeah, Jerry, I do.
Travis?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
75 across the board.
Why?
And only because the last 20 minutes it got extremely entertaining.
So it was hovering in the 50 range then for you.
For the first 45 minutes, it was a complete cluster.
You didn't know where I was going.
Yeah, there's no direction whatsoever.
Huh. I think he needs to have a part of his show. See, he used to have Maureen, and she would interject with stuff from Twitter, and it would kind of spice it up. And that brought the audience, the listeners, because there are a lot of people that just listen to the show.
There's
while
a lot
they're
of
doing
people
their
that are
thing or whatever.
On Twitter watching the feeds, too, and to have them mention I think would draw them in.
But he had to cut his budget, and she was the first to go. So
that's a shame.
That's this whole sequester thing, man.
So Animal got sequestered.
Must be.
So
hey, Zeller, Derek, you still here? No, he's gone.
Economic downturns just suck.
Yeah. Okay, does anybody else have any thoughts or scores? Anybody I didn't hear from? I thought it was a good show. I'm going to give the guests an 83. I'm giving Animal a 68 because I think he's at a turning point. Obviously, he's struggling. He's not sure of the format. Couple months ago, it was going to be two guests, half an hour at a time. You know,
well,
then it was back to the 1 hour show. Now he's got three people talking all over each other.
Recently, he's taken on some other shows and some other responsibilities, hasn't he?
Well,
didn't he doing some other things that are kind of maybe taking too much of his time?
He's got a pretty big announcement coming up. Pretty big announcement, and that's all I can say about it.
Animal, did you or Jerry? Did you see Maureen's score?
No,
it's on Twitter.
Let me see here.
I think she said 85 and 85.
Yeah, typical Maureen. No thinking involved.
Maureen.
We love Maureen. I've camped at Maureen's house before.
She's great.
She's the best.
But I think you're right. I think, interjecting some things from Twitter and some other things, breaking it up a little bit, I think helps. And it'd probably keep everybody focused a little bit more on the question at hand or the topic of discussion.
He was struggling early on, and I felt bad. In fact, I was embarrassed, but, you know, what can you do?
I'm embarrassed for him week after week after week lately.
Try being a guest with that.
What's that?
Try being a guest with that. Not sure if you should interject, if you should interrupt, if you should wait for a question. Like, what is happening? Yeah, it was a rough start for sure.
And then, you know, Jerry, last week when I called him to the carpet on his bad show, he made some comment on Facebook or Twitter, I don't remember which, that, you know, if I don't like it, I should start my own show and take his huge audience. You know what? Who would want to hurt the guy like that?
No, right. Exactly.
But we talked about that, A-Stringer. I don't know if you remember, but I do. We talked about that.
But it was never going to be in competition with Animal. It was going to just be something a little different.
Kind of show.
Yeah.
No, I think there's you can still approach a whole wide audience that's never even heard of Animal. I mean, you can leave him in his own little domain there. Yeah.
But the problem is, Amy, I couldn't get through a show listening to your voice and not and actually stay on focus.
Maybe that's what's wrong with Animal. I get him off focus or something.
Hey, for the record, HR Gal Friday is not anonymous or an office assistant. And she thought the show was great today, particularly the after show.
Well,
I didn't call her anonymous. I called HR
us.
Nasty anonymous.
Is he anonymous?
Well, his name's Frank, but he's never really owned his stuff outright.
His name's Frank?
So technically, I could be HR Nasty.
Oh.
Yeah, I think A-Stringer should be.
A-Stringer's
and if
HR
nasty.
Gal Friday has HR such strong nasty. Feelings on the show, why is she tweeting instead of calling in?
Yeah.
Here's something that I was telling Animal, because, look, obviously his show is struggling, and he's looking for whatever the next phase is. And again,
I know.
But, like, I think he needs to at some point have, like, industry news for, like, just 2 minutes because we're all aware of all these different things going on. Like, he could have brought up the topic of Bill Borman and Craig Fisher merging to become the world's largest
HR roadshow on the planet.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
See, he could have brought that to your attention. Yeah, check it out. Bill Borman.
Interesting. Yeah,
So the true conference world and the talent net world have merged. And some Swedish guy is in on it.
Do we really care about this?
Of course we do.
Well, because then that would open up a debate on, is our time better spent at these conferences, or is it actually in our offices on the phone making placements and sending invoices?
Right. Exactly.
Amy, you are not only beautiful, but smart as well. I love that.
That's why Animal hates me.
Mike, I've got to ask you, do you have a smart, beautiful woman on your team?
Unfortunately, I do not.
Dude, that's where you're missing it, man.
Jerry does.
Maybe there's a reason for that.
Probably is a reason for that.
Mike, have you seen any of Jerry's recruiters? I mean, they are like knock dead gorgeous.
Yeah, man, dude. You know, a lot of people think that whole having a hottie on your team is like old school and out of style. Nope. Dude, that's the way to be.
Let's face it. I don't know where it comes from, but he married way over his head also, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous.
I admit it. That was my goal all along, dude. I'm not stupid. Any other scores? Anybody? All right, well, I'm going to have to wrap it up because I've got work to do.
All right,
fantastic,
fun, guys.
And again, big announcement coming. Big announcement.
All right.
I don't know when, though.
What?
Amy.
Keep on talking. Yeah. I got to go. Bye.
Yes?
Uh-oh, is this an intimate call that I'm listening in on?
I don't know. I got to go. I got to go to my office, too. Call me later, bye.